Have you ever met somebody that you thought acted one way in front of a certain group of people and then another way when they were around a different set of group? I think that's pretty common, right? We all know those people who act one way and then act a different way. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago on a podcast that I listened to, I came across this story, and it's a true story. So in 1908, in Paris, this Newfoundland dog became very famous because it became a local hero because it had rescued a child that had fallen into the river. And as soon as the dog heard the splashing and the cries of this young child, it jumped into action. It dove into the river and it pulled the child ashore, and everybody was safe. And to show the dog their gratitude, the family of the rescued child presented the hero dog with a delicious beefsteak. Well, 2 days later, this same dog rescued another child from drowning. And again, it was rewarded with a delicious beefsteak. And this pattern continued to happen again and again. The child would fall into the river, only to be rescued by this heroic Newfoundland, and then the dog would receive the delicious beefsteak. Well, as it turns out, after the dog got the beefsteak the very first time, he learned how wonderful saving a child could be. And so from that moment on, every time he saw a child playing near the river, the dog would go push the child in, only to save them right afterwards. Right, acting one way in front of one person and another way in front of others. Well, this morning we're starting a sermon series called Be Real. And the idea behind the sermon is urging us away from projecting a filtered and curated version of ourselves and our faith journey. In other words, it's a call for us to be real before others and with God. Yeah, I think it's almost a universal truth that we all struggle with fear about what other people think about us, right? We change multiple outfits because in the morning, because we know we're going to be around that special person later in the day, and so we have to look just right. And maybe it's taking the long way around to avoid the nasty comments of a bully. Maybe it's replaying an awkward conversation that occurred over and over again, and you think, what are they going to think of me? Maybe it's spending hours just finding the right filter and tag for your Instagram post. Now, living this way changes the way that we think and what we see and how we seek to find the approval of others. And it's this fear of what others are going to think about us that push us away from God, away from the person that God has created us to be. And it pushes us into a false version of ourselves in order to please others. Our scripture this morning, it captures a moment of time when someone who should have known better didn't act like it. Peter, who's called Cephas in this passage, right, that's his Aramaic name, is someone who should have been mature enough to be able to live free, to be real, in front of whatever audience, in front of whatever group of people he would find himself living in front of. And so let's read our scripture this morning. It's found in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was wrong. He had been eating with the Gentiles before certain people came from James. But when they came, he began to back out and separate himself because he was afraid of the people who promoted circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also joined Peter in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas got carried away with them in their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they weren't acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, I said to Peter, in front of everyone, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you require the Gentiles to live like the Jews? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I mean, you can almost, you feel the drama here, right? I mean, you've got Peter and Paul, and it's almost like we're back in high school, and these two popular kids are having this very public argument in the public square. And let me I'm going to unpack this passage a little bit and give us a little bit of background. So Cephas, Peter, was a part of the original 12 disciples. He's a very well-known person at this time. Very well respected, has a ton of credibility. I mean, Peter literally ate with Jesus. Peter was the guy that Jesus said, come on up out of that boat. And Peter did exactly that. Peter was the leader of the remaining disciples. Now, Peter's primary mission field was to the Jews and telling them that the long-awaited Messiah had come and that the Messiah's name was Jesus. Now, Paul, on the other hand, is the upstart. He is the new kid on the block. He's intelligent, and he was originally someone who had gone after Christians and would haul them off to jail. That was all before he got knocked off his horse and struck blind. Then Jesus spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And we had the whole name change thing. Paul's primary mission field was to the Gentiles. Right, people like you and I. And he went out on a series of mission trips, telling the known world at that time, telling them that a Messiah had been born, and his name was Jesus. Now, for whatever reason, these two held each other at an arm's length. And probably because Peter had some distrust of Paul, because, you know, Paul originally was this guy who came after Christians. And to Paul, it seemed like Peter was only interested in reaching out to the Jews. And so what happens in our text today was that Peter is hanging out and eating with Gentiles. He's eating with non-Jews. And you might think, well, what's the problem with that? Well, in Jewish culture, right, certain foods were unclean, and you could not eat unclean food. Right? If you touched something unclean, if you ate something unclean, it would make that person unclean, and then they wouldn't be able to worship or offer sacrifices. An unclean person was effectively cut off or shunned by the rest of society. And it wasn't just a food thing, because many Jews would look at Gentiles and see them as unclean, and they would simply stay away from them. And Peter initially is hanging out with Gentiles. But then a group of people came, and they were known as Judaizers. The Judaizers were an early sect in the church where they were Jewish Christians, and they believed that to become a Christian, you had to become a Jew first. Right? They claimed that all Christians, whether you were Jewish or not, because right, you had to become a Jew first, would have to follow the cleanliness laws. Right, and all the guys would have to get circumcised. And Peter gets caught in between these two groups. Right? He likes the Gentiles. He's eaten with them. But then the Judaizers show up, and he's like, ooh. And he starts to side with them. And Paul's not going to have it. Right? He says, and I opposed him to his face. Now, there's an incredible backstory to all of this that would take way too much time to get into, but that's a snapshot of what we're dealing with. Acts chapter 15, there is this, the first Jerusalem council actually deals with this issue. And they said that Gentiles did not have to become Jewish in order to be saved by Jesus. They simply had to believe and accept what Jesus had done for them. So this is what I believe Paul is trying to say to Peter in Galatians chapter 2. That when we are not real, we are confused about whose approval we are seeking. Right? Because Peter's fear of what these important Jewish men thought about him eating and mingling with Gentiles demonstrates that he had this fear of others could lead him to compromise his faith and his values. Paul saw that Peter's favoritism and people-pleasing behavior went against the all-embracing nature of the gospel. In fact, Paul had said this just a few verses before, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I simply trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Because when we seek our family's approval or our friends' approval, Facebook's approval, what we're saying is that their opinions, their approval means more than God's. And that is a very dangerous place to be. Whose approval are we seeking? Secondly, when we're not real, we will forget what the cross means to us. Now, Peter is concerned with being associated with the Judaizers. Like, he wants to be associated with this powerful group of people to the point that he forgets what the cross accomplishes for us. The Judaizers want people to believe in Christ and follow Jewish law. Now, church, anytime we do that, anytime we put an "and" to the cross, we cheapen what the cross has done for us. Jesus' death paid the penalty of our sins, and Jesus' resurrection proves that he is who he says he is. And we are not saved by anything else. We're not saved by anything else other than Jesus. Now, we will say that, right? We will say, "Oh, absolutely, Pastor, we are saved by Jesus." But we will quietly add to the cross, right? "I'm saved by Jesus and my good works. I'm saved by Jesus and my church attendance. I'm saved by Jesus and by being a Republican or a Democrat. I'm saved by Jesus and by beating myself up for my past sins." Church, this is what Paul says to us. He says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Right? Don't turn to the gospel of "and." Because whatever you or I add to Jesus will only end up hurting us. It'll end up hurting the people who surround us. Because that brings us to number three. When we are not real, we may mislead people around us, causing them to miss out on Jesus. Now, we've all heard someone say at some point or another, "Well, they act like a Christian on Sunday, but act like the devil on Monday." And it is a heartbreaking phrase to hear. I mean, why would somebody who knows the truth about Jesus, has experienced the saving grace of Jesus, has experienced saving grace and has experienced the presence of God, why would they ever live in such a way that basically makes Jesus out to be a liar? Right? Paul pleads with Peter in this passage. If you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles then to have to live like a Jew? Right? In other words, how can you expect them to live for Jesus when you aren't? Peter, you are living differently than what you teach and preach. Jesus had very strong words for people who acted in this manner. Right in Matthew chapter 23, he's confronting a group of Pharisees, a group of teachers of the law, people who should have known better. And he says this to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who enter who are trying to." Church, when we are not real, when we live one way on Sunday and then something else entirely different the rest of the week, we might be the very reason why someone decides to ignore Jesus. And that should make us sick in our stomachs. Because God has called us to be his witnesses, his representatives. And so let us not forget who redeemed us, who bought us back from death and sin and eternal banishment. Let's be real all the time. As Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow after me. Church, we are called to be real, both for our sake and for the sake of everyone living around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for loving us and never giving up on us. That, Lord, we know you had grace and mercy upon Peter, even though he was wrong. He was choosing to trust or choosing to seek the approval of somebody other than you. And Lord, when we are honest with ourselves, we know that each and every one of us have lived that same lie as well. We have sought the approval of someone else other than you. Again, dear God, we are grateful for your Holy Spirit, who enables us to be real to ourselves and to our world. Help us to do that. Help us to be real for this world's sake. It's in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. The good news is Peter figured it out, right? He heard what Paul had to say to him, and Peter lived differently. Peter preached the gospel fearlessly the rest of his life, eventually going to the cross. In fact, when he was about to be crucified, he said, "I need to be crucified upside down because I am not worthy to die in the same way that my Savior did." And so they did that. He was crucified hanging upside down. Paul continued doing his missionary journeys. He traveled around the known world, eventually was beheaded in Rome, preaching the gospel the whole time through. Right? Because when we know whose approval we are seeking, when we know our lives, the way that we live, matters, when we understand what Jesus has done for us, we are willing to be real. To be real in front of a world who may be hostile towards what we believe. But we will be real all the more. We will say, "This is Jesus, and I live for him because he died for me." Gracious God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your call to action. Lord, may we never fear your approval, because we know that you sent your Son to die in our place. You love us. You walk beside us. You sent your Holy Spirit to continue to empower us. Remind us of our mission. Remind us of who we live for. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful weekend.